Welcome to Well-Versed, where we bring biblical principles of governance to governmental leaders and you. This is the Well-Versed podcast.
We welcome you to the World Prayer Network. Thank you for being with us on this very unique and special Wednesday evening, the night before Thanksgiving. What a special time. Rosemary, you want to bring greeting before I go to Mario?
Yes, and we're commemorating the 400th anniversary of our pilgrims coming to this land to birth the United States of America in covenant during the Feast of Tabernacles, giving thanks to God for the great harvest that was going to come to all people through this country.
Well, as you well know, the purpose of the World Prayer Network is really very simple. We pray for holiness, righteousness, biblical justice, and truth to prevail across the land and on the nations of the earth. My name is Jim Garlos and my wife, Rosemary. We're on the West Coast, and on the East Coast is our co-host, Mario Bromnick. Mario, welcome.
Thank you so much. We want to wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, and throughout Scripture, when the people of God began to give thanks. Hodu la Adonai ki tov ki le'olam hasto, for the Lord is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. There was great victory in the house of God. We are so honored to have our special guest today. Jim, I turn it back to you.
Ann Graham Lotz is our special speaker, and she has two other people with her that I'm going to have her introduce. I got to tell you how honored I am to have her and her daughters with us today. This family has had an impact upon the globe that is absolutely astounding. Anne, as I introduce you, I got to tell you, you're one of the most remarkable preachers, and your call to holiness before the Lord, your call to repentance, your clarity on the gospel is as good as it gets. But there's one more thing that impresses me with Ann Graham Lotz. I have watched you in quite a few different settings. You treat everybody wonderful. You could have celebrity status, and you do. You don't operate as if you do. You give focused attention the way we all feel when we're around you, and how we're treated by you is remarkable. Perhaps that's one of the greatest things that could ever be said about anybody. But I am always astounded at the way you affirm every person around you. And that touches me deeply. So thank you for not only what you do, which is quite remarkable, but thank you for who you are. That really blesses us. And it's a joy to have you and your family with us on this pre-Thanksgiving World Prayer Network. We turn it to you, share what's on your heart, but we really want to meet the person to your right and the person to your left.
Jim and Rosemary, thank you. And Mario, for it. This is such a privilege. You know, I've been on your prayer network calls, not on this live Zoom, but I'm one of those way out there who's just tuning in. And I remember the first time I ever tuned in, I was lying in bed and turned you all on. And the only way I could describe it, I felt so blessed. I felt bathed in God's blessing. His presence just came through that screen into my heart and life. Very precious, and I appreciate your vision statement, which you all are about. And I'll just introduce my daughter on my right. This is Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright, and she's my baby. She's my youngest one, but she and I've just written a book together. It's just come out, Jesus Followers, a Real Life Lessons to Ignite Faith in the Next Generation. And she's the mother of my three granddaughters, and she has a real heart to reach the next generation for Jesus. And she also heads up the prayer team that prays for me. You know, I couldn't do this without personal prayer. So I have a group of ladies, 10 ladies that meet together every week and pray for me, and she leads that group. And Mauro is on my left, and she was named for my daddy's mother. So her name is Mauro Reitmeier, and she's my travel assistant. So when I travel, she goes with me to make sure I look right, I'm in the right place, you know, take care of all the little details. And then she's part of our office, our ministry prayer team. So they pray for my ministry and all that my staff is about every Thursday also. So she's a precious person. And both of these girls, and I call them girls, I guess they all may be my children, but when I went through cancer surgery, they were both with me. I went through chemotherapy, they were with me at every session. Went through radiation, they were with me When my husband went to heaven, this daughter, Mauro, and her husband moved in with me for 16 months to help me make that transition into widowhood. So God has blessed me with these girls. And so I just love having them on either side for this. And I have a fairly significant cold. So if I strangle and coughing, then they're going to take over for me for a minute, but also want them to share too. And it's Mario said that Thanksgiving was one of his favorite times of year. And I love Thanksgiving. It just hasn't been messed up, you know, with Easter bunnies and Santa Claus. It's just what it is. It's just Thanksgiving, and I love it. So, and I think Thanksgiving, I'd like to call it Thanksgiving, that we as believers in Jesus need to center our lives in Thanksgiving to Him. So we'll tell you in a few moments how we celebrate Thanksgiving, but first of all, I want to share with you the significance of Thanksgiving and how important it is, not just one day of the year, but every day of our lives. And I know those of us on this prayer call, you watch the world events, you are very familiar with what's happening in our country and around the world. So I just want to read to you a portion of Romans chapter 1, if I might. Because in Romans chapter 1, it says, where professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And we might think of that as evolution when they just substituted the evolutionary theory for the truth of creation. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts. And so he just backed away, took his hand off of them. And then they still didn't repent and turn to him. So in verse 28, it said, even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. And I think the King James Version says a reprobate mind, where they can't think straight. They wouldn't recognize the truth if it was right in front of them. They don't know the truth. They come up with your truth and my truth. And then it goes on down, and God keeps backing away. And this is what he describes at the end of this downward spiral: being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. And that's a description of our culture today. So that's the end of that downward spiral. And God has backed away from us, I believe, in America, and he's letting us just experience the consequences of a godless nation and a godless society. But I want to point out where that downward spiral began, because this is very sobering. And I'm going to go back up to verse 20, because it says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. In other words, God has clearly revealed himself in creation. You know, right now in North Carolina, we're having fall, and this is late for us, but spectacular colors, spectacular. You look at that and the changing seasons, and look at the sun coming up every morning and going down every evening. You look at the moon that determines the tides of the oceans, and you know, you can look at a bumblebee that's too fat to fly, but it does, you know. And now there's so many things. A woodpecker who jabs at a tree and he doesn't knock himself out when he drills on a tree, because he's got a little pad between his beak and his brain that protects his brain. I mean, just, you know, you look at that, you look at the birth of a baby, and you look at the miracle of human life, and look at the way our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully. You have to know there's a creator. You have to be repressing something if you don't acknowledge that there is a God. So they were without excuse. So it says, because although they knew God, and we know God through creation, and we know God through our conscience, you have to deliberately repress something not to acknowledge that there is a creator. So he's planted knowledge of him in our conscience, in our very core of who we are. But you have to repress that not to come forth and acknowledge it. And this is what I want to point out. They don't acknowledge him as God, and they don't glorify him. So that means there's no worship of him because they don't acknowledge that he even exists, nor were they thankful. And that's where the downward spiral begins, when we no longer worship and we no longer give thanks. So if we want to turn our country around, if we want to make an impact, I think it's time for God's people who are called by God's name to start living in thanksgiving, and that we would cultivate an attitude of gratitude where we would give thanks for all things. And I was reminded in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat went to battle. Do you remember against the Midianites and the Ammonites? And I can't remember, you know, all the maybe little termites, all those. and they looked like the sand of the seashore. And he said, God, we don't know what to do, you know, but our eyes are on you. And then God told them what to do. And he sent out the choirs before the army when they went to battle. So as the choirs praised God for his faithfulness and his goodness, God set an ambush, and Israel was victorious. So they won victory, but it began with praise, and it began with thanksgiving. When Nehemiah dedicated the walls in Jerusalem after he had built them in 52 days, he sent choirs of thanksgiving to the left and choirs of thanksgiving to the right. And so I think thanksgiving is not only our privilege, but I think it's part of our spiritual weaponry, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we praise him, it cleanses the atmosphere. The enemy can't abide being in a place where God is worshiped and adored and praised. And one reason Mara and Rachel Ruth and I have, we have done battle, as I know everybody who's watching this, you've been in spiritual battle, and we have eyes to see a little bit into the invisible world, what's going on in our nation, what's going on into our world. And we know what it's like to walk through the house and pray the names of Jesus and his blood over every room and just praise him, turn on the praise music, and worship him through songs and psalms and spiritual hymns. So praise and thanksgiving is a part of what we're supposed to do every day. I try to begin every prayer with worship, just worshiping God for who he is, and then moving into thanksgiving for what he's done, and then interceding. It helps put things in perspective. You know, it helps, sometimes our problems don't seem quite so great when we start off our prayer focusing on who God is and thanking him for what he's done for us. And I remember, I know these girls will remember, when they had just finished school, one year, they were both in high school, and I have a son also who couldn't make it today, but all three of them were finishing high school. And so to celebrate, I took them out for a hamburger at a fast food place downtown, and we were gone from the house for about an hour. And when we came home, we found that the front door had been busted down and everything of value had been taken from my home. It was furniture, pictures off the wall, all of my silver, all of my jewelry, all the things my grandmother had left me, gone. And when the police came to investigate, they said it probably didn't take these people, they were professionals, it probably didn't take them more than 10 minutes to clean me out. And they said they would be back because they would wonder if they could get all that in 10 minutes. What could they get if they had more time? So when I crawled in bed that night, and the thieves had folded back my bed and taken the pillowcases off my pillows in which to put my things that they took away, and I had to crawl back in that same bed and put my head down on those pillows, and I was terrified. And I thought, are they coming back? And what do I have that they can take away? And I thought, you know, I can lose my health through disease, which I have, and I could lose my husband through death, which I have, and lose something of my reputation through gossip or slander, and we've all gone through that. I could lose my children when they grow up and they move off, which they have, but you know, it's interesting, one by one they come back, so I'm so thankful. But I could lose my house if it burned to the ground. Praise God, it does not. But I went through the things that could be taken from me. And I felt my body going stiffer and colder, and I was losing it. I knew I was going into shock. And then God, who is so good and meets us right in a hard place like that, he just brought to my mind the things that nobody could ever take from me. And I had been in Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 in my personal Bible study. And in Ephesians chapters 1 and 2, it talks about all the blessings we have in spiritual places. And so I just tried to remember what the blessings were that couldn't be taken from me. And there were so many, I put them to the alphabet. And so when I went to bed, I was reciting the alphabet, and each letter of the alphabet had a, you know, something that couldn't be taken from me ever. That's what Peter says, that, you know, laid up for me in heaven where moth and rust can't corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal. And so I went over those. I'm going to give you the alphabet and those blessings now, because I think sometimes if you're like me, you can be so superficial. It's like, what do I thank God for? You know, what is, you know, and it just helps me to have an alphabetized list that I can go over when, you know, life falls in on me or throws me a curveball, and just to cultivate that attitude of gratitude. So I'm going to go through the alphabet. You all can help me remember the alphabet. But so A, Ephesians 1 says we're accepted in the beloved. Did you know that? You're as accepted by God as Jesus is, because you come to him through your faith in him and your love for Jesus. And you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Nothing does he withhold from you, the spiritual blessings that he showers on us when we come to him through faith in Jesus. And we're chosen before the foundations of the world were laid. He knew me by name, and he decided, I'm going to bring Ann Lotz into existence at the end of human history, because I have a purpose for her life. And I've been chosen by him to belong to his son and to serve him and bring him glory. Gives me such meaning, doesn't it? D, we're delivered from an empty way of life, delivered from living with no purpose. You know, evolutionists would tell us that we came from some little amoeba in some prehistoric pool, and that means we have no purpose, we have no meaning, there's no reason for our existence, we came from nothing, we're going nowhere, we'll never give an account of our lives to anybody, and we're delivered from that, because we know we were created by a God who loves us, sent his son to give his own life for us, because we're a treasure to God, and he values us, and that's proven by the life of his son that he gave for us. So where E is, we're enlightened, and he enlightens us to understand the things in scripture, to understand something of what we read, to understand something of who he is and what he's done for us. F, we're forgiven of all of our sin. And can I just say this to you? When you come by faith to Jesus at the cross, and I'm talking about just in prayer, you come to him and you confess that you're a sinner. You tell him that you're sorry. You're sorry for all the wrong things you've done. You ask him to forgive you, to wash you clean with his blood. And you believe Jesus died on you. If nobody else needed a savior, you did. And then you believe that he rose up from the dead to give you eternal life. And you receive the eternal life that he offers. You open up your heart. You invite him to come live inside of you. And you choose to follow him from that moment forward all the way to heaven. You're forgiven of all of your sin. Can I just tell you? All of the past sin, present sin, future sin. Did you know that? Because Jesus died for you 2,000 years ago. All of your sin was future to him at that point, right? So when he died for you, and when he shed his blood for you, it's all of your sin that's under that blood. Past, present, future. You're forgiven. Live in the joy of your forgiveness. Doesn't mean we don't still sin. And I'm going to be the first to acknowledge I still sin. I don't want to. But I have a sin nature that pulls me down from time to time, but I know even then that I'm forgiven. And if I turn to God in confession and confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me all of that sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So forgiven. We just stop right there and and just continue to thank the Lord for our forgiveness. But we also have his grace. And Rachel tells a fabulous story in our new book about how my husband taught her the meaning of grace when she should have had punishment because she had slammed the door on Mauro and broken a glass door, and I'd sent her to her room. And my husband went up, and you know, she thought judgment was going to fall. And but instead he said, "You want to go, Rach?"
Yeah, it's like, "Rach, you deserve to be punished today, but instead I'm going to teach you about grace." And I about fell out. I couldn't believe it. And that's when he told me what Jesus did on the cross.
That yeah, what was he going to do for you?
Yeah, take me to get ice cream.
Yeah. instead of a spanking, which we did in our home, sorry. But anyway, yeah. He took her for ice cream and not the teacher about grace.
Yeah. So I don't even remember if he actually did go get ice cream, but that story just stayed in my mind. That's what grace is, when we deserve to be punished for our sins, but then God takes over, extends his grace and forgiveness.
Yeah, so just that's something to be thankful for, his grace every day in our lives, his goodness. I mean, some of these letters, you know, you can do several blessings and things to thank the Lord for each letter. But we have an incredible heritage in the saints. And as we go through scripture, whether it's Abraham, who's like our father, David, who's like our brother, Peter, who's like our crazy uncle, you know, the characters in scripture are our family. So we have a heritage in the saints. And also for myself, David said, you know, the lines have fallen to me in goodly places. Mm-hmm. Lo, I have a goodly inheritance. And it's that heritage of believers that I want to pass to my children and my grandchildren. But it's rooted in scripture. So the characters in scripture are my family too. They can be your family. And I leads us to the inheritance. And what I'm going through the alphabet, this is our inheritance. An inheritance that Peter says is laid up for you, so that nobody can ever take it from you. And it's a rich inheritance of, you know, includes so many things. And the next one, I left out H, didn't I? H, I can remember the blessings. I can't remember the alphabet. but it's also heaven. It's what I was thinking about, because he's promised us heaven. So it's hope, you know, that we have, this life is not all there is. The best is yet to come. And we know that we're going home one day. And I believe, you know, just when the things the Lord has revealed to me, if I live out my natural lifetime, I'm going to live and see the sky unfold and hear that trumpet blow and hear Jesus himself descend with a great shout. And I'm going to be caught up in the air to be with him forever. If I don't live until that moment, I know he's coming for me at death. And I'm going home. So he's preparing a place for me. Jesus promised, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, room enough for everybody. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's a personal preparation. He knows the colors I love. He knows the people I want to be with. He knows the music I enjoy. He knows, you know, and he's preparing that place for me. So I'm going home. So we have a home. We have an inheritance. Jay, we're justified. And just as if I'd never sinned. So when I'm covered in the blood of Jesus and I'm forgiven of past, present, future sin, I'm justified just as if I'd never sinned. That's an amazing thing. You know that if you have a past, if you have things that you're ashamed of, it's all under the blood. And when God looks at you, he looks at you just as if you'd never sinned. You're innocent and pure in his eyes. And K, you're given knowledge of God. How wonderful when we study the scriptures and we can get to know God for who he is. I don't want to know him the way somebody tells me he is. I don't want somebody to, you know, I don't want to know him by secondhand information. Well, my God is not like that. My God would never do that. And my pastor said this and my parents said that. I don't want to know God like that. I want to know him as he is. And he is exactly the way he reveals himself through his word, exactly the way he is as he reveals himself through Jesus. And he gives us knowledge of himself. The Bible says God is light. And light, the primary characteristic is to reveal itself. So God has revealed himself to you and me through his word and through Jesus. And we have knowledge of God that's accurate and truthful. So KL, we have his love. And praise God that he's not just moving pawns on a chessboard. Praise God, he's not just up there with a big stick to beat us when we do something wrong. God the Father loves you, and he loves me. And and that love is unconditional. So when you receive Jesus by faith as your Savior and Lord, and he comes into your life, you know, some of us fall and fail terribly, but God still loves you. And you doubt that, you look at the cross, because he knew that you would do all those things. He knew you would fail. He knew you would sin. And he loved you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you, to take away that sin. So he loves us. He loves us. He loves you. Can I just say it again? God loves you. And we have his mercy. His mercy is giving us less than we deserve. We have his nearness in. He lives in our hearts. You can't be nearer than that. It's an intimate relationship that we have with him through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're made one with him. And again, when Jesus prayed in John 17, I pray that, you know, they may be one as we are one. And my mother used to think that was the one unanswered prayer in scripture, but I think he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, I would have the Holy Spirit living in me. Mara would have the Holy Spirit living in her. Rachel would have the Holy Spirit living in her. Jim and Rosemary would have the Holy Spirit living in them. And Mario would have the Holy Spirit living. So we're made one in the Spirit. And I know many of you come from around the world. And one of the blessings when I travel worldwide is to meet God's people and to recognize the oneness that we have. We're a family. There's a bond that doesn't matter the language, the color, the nationality, the culture. We're one in the family of God. So we have his peace. And in this day and time, with the world melting down, with so much chaos and confusion and disaster and division and death and disease, we can have peace in our hearts. And I want to tell you that going through the cancer diagnosis and the surgery, the chemo, the radiation, and having my husband suddenly leave and my father following him 3 years later, I never lost my peace. The peace of God was running deep down like a river down below. It didn't make sense to me. It was supernatural. But I never lost my peace. It doesn't mean I didn't cry. And I know you know I'd be lying if I told you I didn't cry. I could weep, but the peace was deeper than that. And the joy was deeper than that. So he gives you peace. And I can add power to that, because the Holy Spirit of the living God lives in you and lives in me. And that you have all the power of God to live a life of victory and triumph as you yield your life to the Spirit of God. Those who walk in the Spirit, we're not condemned to live a life of struggle and condemnation. And we've been set free from that. So we have power to not only live, as Jim was describing, a holy life in this unholy culture, but we have power to impact the lives of those around us. So we can make a difference in our generation. Q, we're quickened into new life. And I know you know what that is when the Holy Spirit comes into you and there's a quickening, a life. In fact, you can see it in people's eyes when you go to church or you're in that Bible study. And there's just a sparkle there, isn't there? And you're just seeing the quickening of life in that person. I know when I was pregnant with these two girls, and one of the most exciting days of pregnancy is when you first feel that quickening of new life within. And in the same way, when the Holy Spirit comes into us and we respond to the gospel, then he quickens us into new life. So we're quickened, we're redeemed. R is redeemed. We're redeemed from that empty, meaningless way of life. And S, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is like our engagement ring. And when God looks at us, he sees that seal. He knows we belong to him. So we have the Holy Spirit is our authentic seal before a holy God. So we're sealed and we have the Spirit of God within us. T, we're his treasure. Zephaniah says that he actually sings over you. Malachi says that you're one of the jewels in his crown. And so you're heaven's treasure. You're united with other believers in the body of Christ. V, you're validated as being an authentic child of God and given victory in Jesus' name. And BW, is it come next? We have his wisdom. And we were talking about that in Rachel's Bible study, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but God will give you wisdom when you ask. James 1 says to ask, and he gives you wisdom. But I think it also comes from saturating yourself in his word and just knowing his word and living out his word. And he gives you wisdom for how to handle all the tangles in the struggles of life. And he also, I have to add, as a W, he gives us his word. Praise God, we have his word. Praise God, we live on this side of the cross. And so we have the Old and New Testament, all the different translations. So there's no reason you can't say you can't understand it, because there's a translation out there that you can understand. And not that we understand everything. Please don't misunderstand me. But we can read it and get enough from it that we can live by it. So praise God for his word. And XYZ, is that where I am? XYZ, I couldn't think of one for each one of those, but we're exalted to live with him in heavenly places. So we're told that we're going to be co-heirs with him, that he's going to seat us at his side in the throne of heaven. And even now, we can live exalted with Jesus in that heavenly place. So as I go through the alphabet, and how could I not just pour out my heart in thanksgiving to who he is and what he's done for me and the blessings, as I look back on the last 6 years, what stands out to me are the blessings of God. And one of the huge blessings was having these two beautiful women at my side through all of life's journey, and to have them praying for me and supporting me and encouraging me, strengthening me, blessing me. And God will do that for you. It may not be in your family. And I know some of us have families that are anything but a blessing. But ask God to bring you somebody at church and a Bible study just through this Zoom call. You know, just having somebody in the prayer network that you connect with and pray for each other. So it's a wonderful thing to be united in the body of Christ and to support each other that way. And so Thanksgiving, tomorrow we're going to be celebrating with food and family and football, but also to make time for Thanksgiving. So Rachel, just share with them a little bit how we celebrate Thanksgiving.
Well, since I was little, we've always gotten together with my Uncle Franklin's family and then my grandparents. And then when my grandparents went to heaven, we've just kind of all done our own thing with our families. But we all get together. And what we've always done is, sure, we eat, and Mom's a great cook, and so we'll eat all this food. But then after that, we used to always get around with all of my cousins and aunts and uncles and Daddy Bill and Teta, what I called my grandparents. And we would go around in a big circle. It would take forever, but we would share what we were thankful for. And when Daddy Bill started not hearing great, we'd pass a microphone around. And because it was so important to give thanks to the Lord, it's what the pilgrims did all those years ago. And I think after a long year, it is good to, instead of thinking about how hard it's been, because it's been hard for all of us, to sit down and just thank the Lord and give him praise and worship. And I feel like that's something the Lord's put on my heart even the past week. And my family's been under so much attack from the enemy. And I felt the Lord just keeps telling me to praise him, to worship him, to give him thanks. And so I've tried to do that. I've had all these hymns. I think the Lord keeps bringing hymns to my mind. And I can't sing, but I mean, I just keep singing them in my head, and I'm just trying to give thanks to the Lord when everything is so difficult right now. It's so hard, and we're faced with so many struggles that we just have to put our mindset on thanking the Lord and praising him. And so Thanksgiving in America is a perfect time to really set our mind on thanking the Lord and praising him. And so that's what we do as a family, and we enjoy all the other stuff too, but that is the blessing that we all remember. I can remember things that my cousins have said that they were thankful for years ago, and it just sticks out. And I think it's something that is that sweet smelling aroma to the Lord, and to make time with your family to do that.
Yeah, so tomorrow we'll do that. So we're going to eat until we're just stuffed and laugh and share with each other. But then we're going to gather around those who are celebrating Thanksgiving with us, and just pinpoint something in this past year that we're thankful for in particular. It can be an event, it can be an answered prayer, it can be, and scripture says to put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I think if you have any spiritual sensitivity at all, you've probably felt the oppression and the heaviness that's in our world today, the darkness that's coming in. Actually, it's come in, but we put on the garment of praise because our God is greater than whatever that is. And I feel like we bring on the light and it drives the darkness out. So one of the other things we do, and this was something my grandfather started, my father's father. So every Thanksgiving, he would end the Thanksgiving dinner by reading Psalm 100. And then my father, when he was able, and actually he was able until the last couple of years of his life, but he would end our Thanksgiving celebration as we thank the Lord for things by reading Psalm 100. And it's one that probably you memorized as a child. I did. I wouldn't dare try to say it in front of you, but I've asked Mara to read it. And I think she's reading from the King James Version, which is the way I memorized it. But Mara, you want to read Psalm 100?
Yes. So it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Amen. Anything you want to add? Or?
No, and I do like the King James Version because that's what Daddy Bill read to us. And so that's what we did at Thanksgiving. And then we would share what we're thankful for, and we would all go around. And but it does set the tone, I think, to pull in the scripture and then to go around and share what we're thankful for. So it's just a sweet memory.
So we want to say we're also thankful, Jim, and you and Rosemary and for Mario for what you're doing to try to pull believers together and network people for prayer and for praise and for intercession. And we feel very privileged to be on this call on this night in particular before Thanksgiving. So so you actually are part of our Thanksgiving celebration. So we thank you so much. God bless you.
Oh, thank you. My goodness. What a treat we just had. Thank you. Thank you so much. You got me kind of hungry at one point talking about all that food. So I'm ready for tomorrow as well. Mario, I want to go to you first. If you would lead us in prayer or share a comment or thought, and I have some thoughts, and Rosemary, we'll pray here in a moment as well. Go ahead, Mario.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Anne and your daughters. As you were sharing, we are so grateful for your family. We're grateful for your father and your siblings and the children. And to me, your family represents America and what we're really all about. And, you know, we're still declaring and praying and believing God is not through with our nation. And as just hearing and receiving from you all tonight, and just knowing, you know, God established our nation based on him, you know, our nation's founded upon him. And what a great time to turn our hearts to him, to thank him, you know, for his goodness. So let me just take a moment. Father, thank you so much for those listening tonight. We thank you for Anne, her family, Billy Graham, and the entire family. Father, we know that you saw it fit to call our nation under your name. Father, upon the Bible, upon Judeo-Christian values. And Father, we thank you that there is a remnant still standing for you. And Father, in the midst of all the shaking, like in the battle of King Jehoshaphat, where the army is overwhelming us, we gather believers together on this Thanksgiving Eve and declare, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam hasdo. Father, we give thanks to you, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Father, would you set the captives free? Father, would you save us
from the snares of the enemy, individually, families being restored, and would you save our nation? Father, truly, we deserve judgment, but in the midst of judgment, would you remember mercy? We thank you, Lord, that we can draw near to you no matter what the circumstances. We love you and honor you. We bless those that have been online, Father, that have been joining us in prayer across the nation and in other nations. We just bless this Thanksgiving, that it will be special, that it will be different, that it'll be an oasis of your presence in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Back to you, Jim.
Yes, Father, we're so grateful for your word, your Psalms, and specifically Psalm 100 and the five Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 113 to 118, Father, that your people recited every Thanksgiving, every Feast of Tabernacles, when they went up to the house of God, they proclaimed your word and they recited to you the scripture, Father, that you gave them. And these very words again, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let us now say, his loving kindness endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness endures forever. And now let those who revere the Lord answer and say, his loving kindness endures forever. And so, Father, we proclaim your word and we thank you, we trust you, and we put our faith and our very lives in your hands and are so grateful that you've called us for such a time as this. Your blessings upon Israel, your blessings upon the United States of America, and all nations, which are your great inheritance. Amen.
Amen. I want to just express thankfulness, like Mario just did, to each of you three, to your entire family, and what you mean to us. Only Ann Graham Lotz could take the alphabet and turn it into a theological treatise. That was brilliant. That's a theological textbook. If you have not written that,
that's Psalm 119 in English, because it's in the Hebrew.
Yeah.
In Psalm 19,
good point.
Through the
good
Hebrew
point.
Scripture, but you,
that's right.
You gave us the translation into.
If that is not written, it needs to be written.
Yeah.
That is profound. Wow. As you were talking, and I was really. I just so appreciate you and your spirit, what you share. I reached up on the shelf to my left because I thought of this as this book, Billy Graham and Me. It's a part of the Chicken Soup of the Soul series. And it came out, I just looked just now to see what year it came out, in 2013. It's got 101 people who wrote their stories about Billy Graham. Now, frankly, it could have several millions, but they had 101. I'm not sure how I got asked, but I'm one of those 101 that got the privilege of writing that. I think it probably came through our mutual friend, Larry Ross. I was his pastor a long time ago. I suspect through him, but I don't know. I don't remember. But when you're part of a family of this nature in the spiritual domain, the most visible family in the world, and quite frankly, one of the most visible families, period. And that puts some blessings, but it also puts enormous pressures that the rest of the world does not comprehend. Only those who've walked in it fully understand. And I just want to compliment you, because you would be thrown into a microscope globally. And that's unfair to any family, but that's the way you'd be because of the visibility, because the indescribable anointing that was on Billy Graham, and has now gone to his children and his grandchildren in a stunning way. This is quite remarkable. But all of us who look from the outside would say, oh, wow, what would it be like to be a part of that family? But the fact is, you're like any other family. You have pains and challenges and heartaches and difficulties. And you've already alluded to the fact that the pain of your father dying and your husband dying and a battle with cancer and just the things that you face. And I watched from a distance what you were going through as your husband passed away. That this book came out in 2013. That was the year that my wife passed away, my first wife passed away. And what that meant to me and how hard that was. So I just want to start with thankfulness to say thank you for standing the way you do, not only with handling appropriately the blessings that have come to you by virtue of the legacy, but being able to withstand all the temptations, the potentials for detours. I remember hearing the story when I was a kid, Billy Graham being approached to become president, run for president. And he managed to avoid that detour and stay on course, on mission. And if the truth be known, I suspect you've had so many other offers for so many other things, and yet you keep on mission, declaring the gospel and living it out. So just to your family and what you go through, the pressures, the attacks, I want to tell you how thankful we are for you. Mario started with the same thing, because he and I were both stirred of the Spirit to start there. And there's one other thing I'd like to just speak to the people who are listening right now. You said an interesting phrase and it sort of jumped off the page at me. You said, gather your family, and if your family's not a blessing, then gather others. And so to those of you who are listening who's, there's no easy way to say this, your family's not a blessing to you. The mention of family brings pain to you. To all of you listening that are struggling with that, I just want to pray protection over you, particularly during holidays, Thanksgiving, rolling into Christmas. This tends to exacerbate the challenges of family life. And I pray, like Ann prayed, that some others are going to come around you and fill the void, what family would have done. Some others from the family of God are going to become profoundly close to you and help sustain you in this moment. Father, I lift up that one right now who's without family, or maybe the family seems abusive, or the family's strident, or there's just pain and there's division. Lord, would you bring him or her comfort on this day, tomorrow, on Thanksgiving Day, as we roll into the Christmas season. I ask supernaturally each of those who's struggling with this that are watching right now to really have an avalanche of love come from sources they do not know and might not anticipate. And somehow the body of Christ is the body of Christ in a profound way to that one or those ones who right now are saying, where's my family in this moment? Lord, bring around them, bring a healthy spiritual clinginess from those around them to attach and just bless them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Well, I want to say a huge thank you. Ann, busy night before Thanksgiving. Rachel, Ruth, thank you. I've got to remember that about break the glass door and get ice cream out of the deal. That's pretty cool. That's what a picture of grace that is. And Mauro, I don't know what you get, but I think she was slamming the door on you. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Oh my goodness, we owe you some ice cream too in this business. Yes. I got to send you a gift certificate or something. Yeah.
I'll take it.
Well, you ladies are busy and you gave us all this time. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. Of all of you who've watched, Mario, anything final you want to say? Okay. Nope. Rosemary, we're going to sign off. Thank you for being with us on this Thanksgiving Eve. We pray blessing of the Lord upon you. Blessing of the Lord tomorrow. The spirit of thanksgiving, the spirit of gratefulness is what real humility is. Humility is not saying, oh, I'm humble. The spirit of humility is, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so thankful for the people around me. Thank you. I don't deserve any of this, but thank you for the blessings of the Lord. We pray blessings on you tomorrow. Go in the joy of Jesus. We'll see you in a few days. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please read the show notes for additional details if you would like a copy of the book or resources mentioned. Remember that Well-Versed is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit organization. We rely on your support and partnership.
Thank you for listening to the Well-Versed podcast. For more information, please go to www.wellversedworld.org.